Blog Talk Radio.
God made it fail. God made it fail. Oh,
my goodness. Everything the devil got made it.
Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. Woo! I am super excited. It is Wednesday, Thursday, and the woman of God that will be on will be having a word just for you from the Lord. So get your pen and paper together and get ready to eat on this morning. The scripture for this morning is John 16 and 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16 and 33 again, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Father God, I want you to have your way on this morning. Less of your daughter and more of you. Let her decrease and increase in her right now, Father God. Speak through her to your people. And have your way on today, in Jesus' name, amen. Just want to give a shout-out for all the countries that's listening in. Of course, the United States, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Hungary, Thailand, and so many more. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know that you can openly praise God. But check this out. We are praying and interceding for you. You're not in this by yourself. You know, I say this all the time. That's the first thing the enemy do is go for your mind and have you thinking that you're alone. But listen, you're not alone. You have family over here that's praying and fasting and interceding for you. Don't lose focus. Don't give up. God is still right there with you. In spite of what you feel, in spite of what you think, right there with you. No, it's not easy. We did it. Yes, hell, all hell is breaking loose. Absolutely. That just shows what Nemo and Grandma and Big Mom been saying for years, that the Lord is on his way back. Are you ready? Are you prepared? or you still think you have time. No time waits for no one. We don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord is coming back. Are you ready? Ask yourself that. Are you really ready if the Lord comes right now? Will you be caught up in the rapture or will you be still here? Think about it. You lived off of me, Mom's Big Mom prayers long enough. Do you have a relationship with the Lord for yourself? Can you call somebody and they immediately start praying with you? Are they going to try to find out what all is going on? Pray with me. Because one thing I know for sure, God will do it. On time. Might not when he come when you want him to. But listen and listen to me well. He's always, always on time. Women of God, hold your head up. Wipe your, adjust your crown. Shine up your armor. And make sure you keep that helmet of salvation on. I say this all the time because that's the first thing the enemy goes for is your mind. Because he knows. Once he have your mind, everything else will follow. But hear me and hear me well. We're on here to encourage, inspire you, and uplift you. This is a no judgment zone. We can't judge you, and we're not trying to judge you. But we are on here to tell you about somebody who can save anybody and love everybody. So you're not in this by yourself. We're going to go to a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. First one to speak, all who need prayer.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Only do it, he said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it, yes he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his grace. To lose it again, I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need your whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, cause they're always on time.
Well, I'll be. Anyway, we still gonna keep going. I don't know what the enemy is trying to do, but it's not happening here. Get your pen and your papers ready. You have your Bible. The woman of God is getting ready to come on to deliver a word just for you on today. Don't worry about what you did last night, nor this morning. Focus on right now and get ready to eat spiritually. I'm going to introduce to some and present to others one of my sisters in Christ, a powerful woman of God. Prophetess Roland, good morning. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you doing, Apostle?
I am blessed and highly favored. I'm ready to eat. I have my pen and paper right here. I'm going on you. The floor is yours, and let the Lord use
Amen.
You. Amen. Good morning.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and I thank God for this another opportunity to speak the word of God. Woman of God had already prayed, and so I filled the prayer. And my name is Natalie Rowland, and God has blessed me with a ministry called Journey to Purpose Ministry. And so it's for the hurting, the sick and afflicted. And so it's just up and running. God has got me on trial basis just to get me comfortable. So I thank God for this opportunity. Today, the scripture that we're going to is 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. And I'm going to read that. Okay, it says, so we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, We entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. So what God was speaking to me about this, that he wants all of us to understand that we are ambassadors. And that is one of the, when I looked it up, I had to look it up just so I can really get with it, even though I know what ambassador is, but God wanted me to look it up and go from there. And it says that it's a highest rank sent by one sovereign or state to another as its residence representative. So what that is, that we are representing God. And God handpicks who he wants to be chosen by him that can to send out the message, to go out and speak the message of God like he did his disciples. His disciples was handpicked by Jesus Christ. So what they did, they went out and discipled all the sick, all the affliction, all the hurting, and Jesus was training them to do it. So that's what God does with us. He wants us to understand who we are. And when we are representing God, God also, when we go out and we minister to people, God wants us to be on our best behavior. He don't want us to go out there being sloppy with his word. He don't want us to think that we're better than anybody else. But he wants us to have passionate in our hearts so we could be able to go out and minister and show the love of God, show the love of Jesus Christ in our heart so people can draw near to him. That's how God keep us drawing near to him, because he sends his love, his favorite, everybody is his favorite, but his hand-chosen people to go out and minister the word of God. There's a lot of times, you know, we're not perfect people. None of us are. But God wants us to be perfect in his word, to do what it is that he wants us to do. And so God said to represent him. His number one that God was telling me, go. He wants us to look like him. And how do we look like God? Well, when we go to our interview, what do? We put on our best clothing. You know, we comb our hair. You know, we put on our makeup, or guys, they shave their faces, make sure they got their best suit on. Okay, so their appearance is one of them. God don't want us to go out there sloppy. But if we don't have clothes to go out, then we can borrow some or just wear what you have. And so God would send us out. When he sent us out, he also wants our words to be on point. He wants people to understand exactly what he is saying to us so we can get the right words out, not to do it on our own, but do it all in the love of God. I can't go and read the scripture and then make something up to make it look good. No, I can't do that. I have to read the scripture exactly the way God wants it, and then the Holy Spirit will give it to me what he wants the people to hear. He wants us to speak the word of God. He wants us to show the love to people so that way God knows that, hey, I got the right one. I know that they're going to do it, because we can't do it without God. There's nothing in this world that we can do without God. Even though we tried, oh, there's many a time that, you know, not intentionally, but trying to go do things on my own, especially when I was a single mom. I'm still a single parent, even though I have two grown kids. I still try to take care of things on my own, and God say, hey, wait a minute now, who's in control? And I have to back up and say, oh, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm just so on that mother mode, that mother bear mode. I just got to go take care of my kids. I just got to do this. But God, you know, I can't. God said, but you can't do it without me. So that's why God always have us to step back, read the word, and listen to him. We got to go out. We don't want to go out and be speaking stuff that we don't even know what we're talking about because we didn't get up and read. We didn't get up and study. You know, how can I come in front of you guys and not study the word and then trying to speak to you? I'll be all over the place. And I have done that before, thinking, oh, man, I forgot to study. And then I try to study 10 to 15 minutes before, and then my words was, oh, man, it was embarrassing. So I had to, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. And so I had to step back. Okay. I had to step back and look at myself and say, you know, Natalie, you got to pull yourself together. This ain't how you represent the Lord. God don't come to us to represent us all crazy when he sent us out there. Well, just go out there. You do what you want to do. No. God prepares us every day to read the word. It says, study me by day and study me by night. We have to have that word in our heart. He said that he would write a word on the tables of our heart. So we have to use that. We have to prepare ourselves every day. It's just not going to prepare for us. God says faith without works is dead. So we have to work that faith to know that, hey, I can do this. God handpicked me. There was times that I didn't believe in myself because other people didn't believe in myself. So it was hindering my walk. And I had to ask God for forgiveness because I knew that that was wrong. I can't keep going in life allowing people to dictate who I am when I know who I am in the Lord. He said that I'm an apple of his eye. He said that I'm more than a conqueror and wonderfully made whole. And you are the same. God knows what he is doing when he asks you to do something. He knows who you are. We might not know everything about us. Man, can I really do this? Okay, well, let's do it. And once you do it, you be like, man, thank you, God. I didn't know I could do that. Because you allow God to work. You allow God to put you out there to minister to people. Because it feels good to come out and help people. Like I said before, I'm a healthcare worker. I'm a hospice healthcare worker. And there's so many times where my patients will cry to me and ask me, you know, to help them. And I can only help them so much because I'm a CNA. But what I can do is pray and ask God, God, give me wisdom on what I need. What is it that you want me to do to help them? And I will go pray over them and then call the nurse and tell them what's going on, and then they can help them because they got a higher rank than I do. But when it comes to being one of God's chosen kids, God allowed me to come out and minister to people and prepare. So God is trying to tell everybody that those who, even when you're called, we all still have a journey. We all still have a purpose. We all still in life have something to do for God. Nobody's left out and nobody's left behind. The only time we're left behind when we just take our hands off of God, when we don't allow God to work in our lives. That's when we know that we are left behind because we out there trying to do what we want to do, but that's not how God wants for us. He wants us to know that he loves us and he cares for us. And he has so much for us to do. And I'm going to see. And another thing that God was speaking to me about when it says God is making his appeal through us. Well, that's his appeal. It's to letting you guys know who God is. We might not know everything about God, but in our trials and tribulations, in our everyday life, God shows us who he is. He loves and cares about us. Whenever we pray to him, he might not answer our prayers right then and there, but he will answer those prayers. And if he don't give you what you need, he'll give you what you want. He said that he will do what he can for you, especially when we believe and trust in God. When we don't believe and trust in God, it never works. And when we just have our hand out and we thank God, you know, just telling God, okay, God, I just need you for this today. No, we got to take God out of that box. His appeal is to let you know, I want you. I need you. I love you. I want you to come on my side. I don't want you to be on the devil's side because the devil doesn't care. He could care less about us. Oh, yeah, he'll make things look good. He'll make things sound like it's God. He'll make things, he'll just pass things over. But when he's done, he's done. He don't care. He could care less anything about anything that we do. It doesn't matter. But what matters that God cares. God cares about us, and he loves us. And let's see, in the other part, okay, in the other part of the scripture, he says, entreat you in half of Christ, be reconciled to God. So God wants us to be reconciled, meaning he wants us, if you fell short, if you've fallen short, God wants you to pick it back up and come back. Ain't nothing too hard for God. It might be a little bit hard for us because, and the reason why it's hard is because we're not trying. And a lot of times I don't like the word try. I just like to do it. I had to stop saying that. Well, I'm trying. Like whenever we was little and my grandmother said, hey, I need y'all to go do this and do that. Why come you haven't done it? Well, I'm trying. Granny, it's hard. My granny said, that ain't hard. You just don't want to do it. And that's true. There's times that we just don't want to do it. We want to lay in the bed all day. Or when we go to work, we want to come home and do what we're supposed to do for the kids. Or if the kids are grown, then we got all this free time and we still don't want to do what God is telling us. We just want to go do what we want. No, God wants you to come back to him. Those who are lost, he said, come back. He's going to open his arms is already open for you to come back. He already wants us. He wants you to know that there's nothing too hard for him. He says, come back, daughter. Come back, son, and reconcile with me. He wants you to draw near to him. He don't want you to be left behind. He wants all of us. He knows that all of us can't fit and have it can fit because God can do whatever he want to do. He can make it fit. But that's not how it works. He wants the ones who really care and love him, the ones who want to be with him, the ones who care enough to say, okay, God, I surrender all. God wants us to surrender all. He wants us to spread the gospel and tell the truth when we spread it, not making things up, but spread the truth, telling your testimony to help others to come near him. God tells his people all the time, come to me, those who are weary, come to me. I'm sending out my messengers. I'm sending out my prophets, my apostles, my preachers, my teachers. I'm sending out the bishop. I'm sending out my people to come to minister to you, to let you know that I'm alive and I'm here for you. But you got to take that step. Don't be afraid to take that step. If you mess up, get back up. Don't stay down there. That's what the devil tells us. Oh, God don't care about you. Girl, you mess up every time. Why are you smoking that crack? See, I knew you was going to go back on that crack. I knew you was an alcoholic. I knew you was you're a depressed person. God don't care about you. Yes, God do care. He said, come as you are. That means everything. That means everything that you have. Come as you are. It don't matter what you look like. It don't care if you don't have no clothes. you know, at least have something on before you come into the church house. But, you know, but, you know, come as you are. It doesn't matter, because once you get on track, God will bring all that stuff to you. He will show you his world. He will take you out the devil's den. He would come and say, daughter, I love you. Son, I love you. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is here. He walked around the earth to minister to people. And when he died on that cross, he saved our souls. He said, give it all to him, your pains and your hurts, your past pains, even the hurts that you go through now. If it's a job that you lost, God to give you one, the one that he wants you to have, not what we want. If you're homeless, if you're out there homeless, I was out there homeless before. And I had to, never been homeless, never thought about being homeless. I had to really dig to ask God, what did I do? God was like, you didn't do nothing. I have to let you go through this trial and tribulations. And I was like, God, why? He said, because you can handle it. But I'm right here. Remember, I'm right here with you. And I had to be strong for my daughters. And they're grown. And we never been, they always, you know, we always depended on each other, especially when I was a single mom. When they were younger, they depended on me, and I depended on God. But there was times I didn't understand at that time because I wasn't walking right with God. And I had to understand that I had to depend. My grandmother always told me, you have to depend on God. You can't keep calling me. And I had to understand that. And when I was in my homeless state, in different states, I was like, man, what is going on? God, is it you really telling me that I have to do this? Places didn't have rental cars. I mean, had to rent a car, didn't know how we was going to pay it, didn't know how anything was going to happen, didn't have money, but God was sending the right people to help pay for the hotel, sending the right people to help us with food. Sin it because I trust and believe in God. I kept my eyes on Jesus. No lie. True story. I kept my eyes on Jesus. But as she was 19 at the time, she's 20. And my 29-year-old was 28. And the youngest one was saying, Mom, she said, I don't understand. And she started crying. And she's like, I don't understand. We never went through this before. And she said, if you wouldn't be here, would I be by myself? You know, and it hurt me because I had to come to Houston where we were, where everything was okay at first. But I still kept feeling something wasn't right. And so when things started going down, I had to tell my daughter, yes, because God is always here. But God knew that you couldn't handle it by yourself, so I had to come. We had to walk through that. And my daughter was hurt. She was so sad. And she just looked upon me, and all I could see was that little girl's face. And so I said, we have to trust, not me. You have to trust. I have to trust in God. I said, we can do this, but we can only do it with God. I said, so we're going to get up. We're going to read the word. We're going to trust. We're going to ask God to help us to what we need to do. What is it that you want us to do, God? And God would tell me, and she would go right along with it. Right along, even though she was hurt and she was mad, and I was too, but I still had to go right along with it. I had to do what God said, because if I didn't, where would we be? We probably wouldn't even be where we're at right now. We'd probably still be homeless in Maryland trying to get back to Oklahoma. But I took my eyes off of what we were going through and put my eyes on Jesus. And I had to do this. And because I did that, because I trust in God, because I gave it all to him, he put us in a place to where we were safe until we got back to Oklahoma. And so if you're going through anything, it doesn't matter if you're homeless. It doesn't matter if you have no food. If you're on drugs, if you're a depressed person, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter because God got you. He has you in the palm of his hand. God wants me to come tell you today to come back to him. Be reconciled to God. Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He created us. He knows every hair that's on our head. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He has the plan for our life. And like Jeremiah in 29 and 11, and I'm going to, even though we all know it, but God wants me to read it to you anyway to let you know exactly what he is saying to us. And I'm turning to Jeremiah. Okay, here it is, Jeremiah in 29 and 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, said the Lord, and I will restore your fortune and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So what God is saying is he knows the plan he has. He knows your future. He's not doing the trials that you have to endure. Count it all joy, because it's better when you count it all joy. You forget, man, did I just go through that trial that fast? And you pass the test. God is trying to take us on levels after levels because he's teaching us what he wants us to do. And after we pass that test, he takes us on the next level. And after we pass that test, he takes us on the next level. So keep your head up. Keep loving and trusting in God. Get up from where you at. God said he loves you. Just put all your cares in him. Touch the hem of his garment. Lay it at the foot of the cross, because Jesus died for us. God didn't have to allow Jesus to die for us. He didn't have to let his son come down to see why it was so hard. What is going on? But it's not too hard. Once we just give up fighting ourselves, we're fighting our own selves because we don't want to do what God is telling us. I mean, I've done that so many times. I fought myself because, man, what? This is hard. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you handle it. Since you think you can do what you want to do, just go and handle that. And I'm sitting there trying to handle something that I didn't know. I knew that I couldn't do because I was being disobedient. And that's another thing that we fight. That's why we're in warfare so much. Because we fight against ourselves. When God gives us a task, we bring it on our own warfare because we want to do it this way when God said, okay, but my way is better, because we don't have to struggle. If you do everything that God is saying, the walk will be so easy. And when I'm talking to y'all, I'm talking to myself, because there's times that I know that I have came against God. Because I said, well, God, don't you think it'd be a little easy? God said, okay, well, since you think you know everything, go on ahead. Let's see where it's going to get you. It didn't get me nowhere. Well, I had to shrink back, and that takes forever to come. It feels like it's forever to come back because of a disobedient thing that I done. We all go through that. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord, but we have to understand that God has us. There's nothing that we cannot do without God. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, not by yourself, but with all God. Get in your word. Seek the Lord. Repent your sins every day. Even when you're at work or you with your kids or with your husband, no matter what goes on, even with your boyfriend, whatever goes on, repent. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even have said that. I know that was wrong. God, oh, I know I didn't do that. I didn't do what they asked me to do at work. God, please forgive me, for I've sinned against you. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's everything right by doing that. Because God said we have to repent. When we don't repent, it's like we're saying, well, God will forgive me. It's okay. I don't have to repent today. No, repent. I don't care how many times a day. People say, girl, you're repenting too much. No, you're not. Repent. Ask God to help you. Ask God to forgive you. God, show me what I did. I know what I did wrong. God, show me what I have to do better. What can I do better? First of all, giving your whole self to God. Second of all, quit trying to do it all by yourself. Third of all, it's not about you. It's about everybody. Everybody that's around you. God put people in our life to minister to. And that's why he chose us. That's why we have a calling on our life. Because there's so many people out there that we need to minister to. There's so many people out there who needs help. Everything that you've been going through is who you're going to be ministering to. Everything that you went through life since the time that you was born and now, God is going to have you minister to people. He's going to have you have a ministry to help those in need and take self out, completely out. Don't put self in there, meaning don't think that you're better than others, because we're not. We're not. We got so many leaders that are falling because they think that they're better than others and they forget where they came from. They forgot that they used to go through that. They forgot that they did this and that they did that. We can't forget that, because God can sit us down real quick the way he put us up on that platform. We can't go out and mistreat people, leaders. We can't do that. You have to remember that God is in control. You have to allow God to do what he said he's going to do. If there's something that you need the deliverance in, let God deliver you. Because it's so much. Oh, my gosh. It works. I feel so free because I let God deliver me. I was hanging on to that anger because people didn't help me. My family member, my grandmother raised us, even though she raised us, but she raised a lot of people. People come over when we were growing up asking Granny for to speak to them because they were going through trials and tribulations. They need to hear Granny talk to them. You know, they love when Granny got on to them in God's way. And my grandmother was that community grandmother. And so I remember God using Granny to help people. She would cook, and we would go and take food up there with them, put it in the car, take food with Granny. And it was fun seeing people's face just as big and smiling and bright, seeing somebody that cared for them. Granny wasn't too proud. She did it because she loved people. And she, number one, she loved God. My grandmother loved God, and she always told us, love God, put God first. Because whenever I'm gone, y'all going to have to do this by yourself. You can't just keep depending on me. You have to depend on God. And I had to learn that. That was so hard for me to understand, to quit talking about my grandmother so much and talk about God. But I give my testimonies because I want people to understand that I struggle just like you guys are struggling. There's things I struggle with now, and I have to give it to God. I can't give it to Granny. I couldn't give it to Granny when she was alive. I had to give it to God. And so God took her out of my life because I was dependent on her too much. And we all, my whole family was dependent on her. And God said, it's time for y'all to walk this own walk. And when I say when she left, you can tell the difference. Because Granny wasn't there no more. Her prayers was there, but God said, you got to make your own prayers too. I had to learn all over. It's like walking. I had to learn it like walking when I was a baby. And I started walking when I was one years old, learning how to walk all over again. That's what it felt like, because Granny had to leave this earth. It was time. We was riding her coattail. No, Jesus wants us to ride his coattail. He said, touch the hem of his garment. So if you guys are doing that, is there somebody that you trust in and believing in? They're only people. You got to trust and believe in God. You can't hang on somebody else's coattail to help you with the ministry. You have to ask God. You can't always go to the prophets and ask them to speak a word. You have to ask God. The word is right here in the Bible. God will speak to you. He speaks to me. People all say, oh, God don't speak to you that much. How do you know what God ain't doing? I tell people that all the time. You can't tell people what God ain't doing. God can speak to you through TV, through songs, ministry. I had God speak to me before with a homeless person. I was out taking, going to go to my patient's house. And God gave this homeless person, when I was giving him some money, and God had me speak to this homeless person. I mean, the homeless person speak to me. And when I tell you he was on point, he loved God. You know, he wasn't trusted in him to do what he was supposed to do, but he loved him. And so he had to gave me a word. Excuse me, I had to get a little water there. But he had gave me a word, and I took that word, and I hung on to that word. And so you do the same thing. Even when your children, my daughter's name was prophesying to me when they were little. I mean, telling me, I was like, well, okay, Lord, these kids is anointed. All right, Lord, let's get it together. They were telling me everything, telling me what I wasn't supposed to do and what I'm supposed to do. The oldest one, especially, she still do that to this day. She'll come talk to me and say, Mama, this is what God is saying, or I can't tell you. You have to wait. Because if she have a word for you, and if God ain't told her to tell you, she ain't going to tell you. And that's what I love about my daughter, because she's obedient. She listens to what God says. And that's what I love about my kids, because they won't tell me nothing, especially the oldest one. She won't tell me. If God didn't tell her to tell me, she ain't going to tell me. But if God give her a word to tell me, she'll keep talking. And then once it's over, and I say, Danae, what was it, Mama? You got to remember, because I can't tell you no more. And she won't tell me, because I have to pay attention. We all have to pay attention to what God is saying. So God wants us to make sure that we pay attention to everything he says and do, and that's what he wants. He said, come and reconcile. And he told me to read John 3:16, in which we all know that. And I'm going to read this anyway. Let's see, John 3:16. Okay. It says, for God so loved the world that he has given his only son, so that everyone who believeth in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. So think about that everlasting life you can have with God. You don't want everlasting life with the enemy. You want everlasting life with God. Come back to God if you're not with him, or you don't understand him, just ask him, talk to him. He'll talk back. And if you don't hear, he's going to tell you, just be patient. If he give you a dream, write it down and hold on to it and pray over it. And God will let you know exactly what he is trying to tell you. So if there's anybody out there that needs prayer, if anybody out there who needs anything from God, go to him. Go to your pastor. I don't know, Apostle, if y'all do altar calls or if y'all pray, have prayer on here where people can come in and pray. How do you do that?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We do the live on our house on Facebook, and they can put in the comments
okay.
their request for prayer, and we will pray. We did a deliverance Sunday. And myself and our campus pastor, Parker, got up, and we went straight into prayer while Chief Apostle was still preaching. So, no, we don't say when somebody requests prayer, because that's what we're here for. God gave us this anointing.
Okay.
We didn't get it on our own. So when he sends someone to us, we immediately go into prayer. And that's what we did. And the baby was 16.
Amen to that.
Back to Christ. Gave her life. And matter of fact, she's getting baptized this Sunday. Her and six other children are getting baptized because of their specific name. So God is amazing.
You're giving me chills.
He's amazing. So anytime somebody needs prayer, it's never an issue. How can the people come to you, prophetess, if they want to hear a word from you again, or if they want to tune in and be connected with you? How can they find you?
Okay, you can go on Facebook and it's Natalie Rowland, and it's R-O-W-L-A-N-D. And also I'm on Clubhouse. I have a ministry on Clubhouse, which is called Journey to Purpose Ministries. And if you don't know Clubhouse, you go in on your store, even if you have an iPhone, go in your store. If you have an Android, go in the store and download it and look for, it says highly favored is what my name is on Clubhouse. It's called, my name is highly favored, and it'll say Natalie R. And then it says Journey to Purpose Ministry, and just go in and you can search it, and you'll find me on there. You can even go on Facebook, and you can go in my inbox, and I will pray for you. I'll connect on Facebook with you. Or sometimes I have ministry. I haven't ministered on Facebook in a while, but I know God is going to have me do it pretty soon. So you can do that, and then I can give you. We can set up a prayer that way. Anything that you need pray for. If you just need somebody to talk to, I'm here. I do one-on-one sessions. I do not charge anybody. I don't charge people for the word. But I always tell people that if they want to sow, that's fine. But I don't even mention it. I just let God do it. I let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. And so I never charge for the word. So if there's anything, if you need prayer or anything, just look me up on Facebook once again and on Clubhouse.
Amen.
And I think,
and if you didn't get the information, you can also text me at 346-419-2529. I will connect you with Prophetess Rowland. It's not a problem, because remember, we're about kingdom business, not our business.
Amen.
What are you saying, Prophet? I'm sorry.
Amen. No, that's all I was saying. That's
well,
it.
Thank you for being always saying yes and being obedient to doing what the Lord called you to do and not doing what you want to do. People have to understand this walk is not easy. It's not for the weak in mind or the weak in heart. You must have strong skin, because sometimes the storm is going to come up and knock you flat on your head.
Amen.
And you have to be prepared to get back up. Because remember, the Bible said a just man falls seven times. But check this, he got back up. See, he didn't stay there.
Amen.
Get back up. Dust yourself off. Wipe your face. Adjust your crown. Shine up your armor. I said that this morning. Shine your armor up and get ready to fight. Because God is on his way back. Listen to me well. If you don't see the signs and wonders that's going on, that the Lord is on his way back, you might need to take your glasses off and you wear them, wipe your eyes, and see with your spiritual eyes, not just your natural eyes, but both. The enemy is at a, he is having a field day, literally a field day.
Amen. Ooh.
But get with some people that's going to help you get where you need to be. That's what
Amen.
You need to do. Let me give you three keys. First, get your Bible. You definitely need a Bible. Whereas King James or NIV, get you a Bible. Two, find your church home, whether you go online or go in. You need a covering. Listen to me well. You need a covering. You're definitely welcome to join Chief Apostle and I at 6705-HAIDHT Street in Houston, Texas, 77028 at 11:30 a.m. every Sunday. We'll also do Facebook Live on Abba House on Facebook. And three, now this is very critical. You must be under someone that's walking and talking the same thing. Come on now. This has to line up when you surrender your life to Christ. You have to be under somebody that's preaching and walking the same thing. Yes, they tell you to do the sinner's prayer, and that's fine and dandy, because I'm not fully a traditional apostle. But listen to this. You can talk to the Lord just like I'm talking to you. You don't have to know all 66 of the Bible. You don't have to speak in tongues. You can talk to the Father just like I'm talking to you. Am I telling the truth, Prophet Rolla? You can talk to him just like I'm talking to you.
Amen. Amen.
People want to get so technical. Well, you have no, you do not. Because Romans 10:9
exactly.
says, if you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can lift your hands
Amen.
And say, Father, I need you now.
I give up. I tried him, my way, it didn't work. And he hears you.
Amen.
Remember, he never left you, for sake. He's always been right there with you. It's us that leave him.
Ooh, come on. Come
it's
on.
It's us that leave him. He's always right there. Okay,
amen.
You did something yesterday,
the
day before, last night, this morning. Forgiveness comes from him. Don't worry about what they say about you.
Amen.
What he's saying
about
you. Prophetess, what would you like to leave the women of God this morning? What would you like to leave that's very important to you right now for them to know?
Well, I would like to say that there are always going to be those trials, and that's what I have to say. To keep saying to even to myself and to my kids or when I minister, because that was the hardest thing for me to understand. We have to suffer because Jesus Christ suffered. But when you ask for wisdom, you ask for understanding, you ask for insight, you ask for clarity and direction and revelation. You speak to God and ask him, how do I get through this? Because this is a little bit too hard. I mean, when I was out there, like I said, I can't stop talking about being homeless because that was one of the trials that was so hard for me. But I had to keep going no matter what. And I had to ask God. I had to just relax and say, okay, God. And it was hard when you're somewhere that you're not used to being. You know, I was in Maryland. I seen Maryland on TV growing up, seeing it in Baltimore, seeing cop shows where it had the Maryland on there, you know, they did scenes on there or Baltimore. And I'm sitting there like, man, I remember these buildings when I was younger. I never thought I'd be homeless. And so I had to understand, I had to endure pains, but I had to count it all joy. Yes, it's not funny when you're in the trials, in the midst of your trials and tribulation, but you still have to count it all joy. You have to praise. You have to worship. When you're in the midst of that, you have to, because that's what makes you get through it, when you're trusting and believing in God that he is possible. No matter what goes on in your life, it doesn't matter. You still have to trust and believe in God. Get you some praise worship. I mean, get you some praise music. Get in the word. And there's times that we can't even pray, but let God minister to you in the music. Even go on YouTube, even, and if you don't feel like and you're so upset the way you can't even just read, there's stuff on YouTube where they read the word to you or on your phone. Get in the word on your phone and download, if you haven't downloaded the app of the Bible will speak to you. It's okay. I mean, I use it. I like the Bible. I like to turn the pages because I write notes on my Bible. And I remember my girl used to say, God, don't be writing on the Bible, but that helps me. So when I go back to that scripture, I have something. I said, oh, okay, thank you, Jesus. God will take me back to it all the time. You get that, if you get that app when you're at work, download it and read it. Put you some headphones on and read it. The best thing that I could do when I worked for hospice, because right now I'm still going through my injuries, and God is still working on me with that. And so I go and I have every day, all day to be in the Lord. And I talk to him all day. I talk to him. Yes, he wants, if you can't speak in tongues, you can be baptized in the tongue. But if you can't, it's okay to talk to him. Go into your quiet space. Talk to him when you're at work. I always went into the bathroom or I went to my car. And I talked to him. So don't just remember in the scriptures it talks about that in James that you have to endure suffering. You have to. And I know we all be like, oh, I don't want to go through this. Go through it. Don't complain. He said stop complaining and stop murmuring. That was my hardest thing, complaining, 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 complaining. When we do that, we're missing our blessings. We're missing what God is trying to tell us. I'm sitting up here complaining when my blessings could get ready to knock on the door, and I'm complaining. God said, no, turn around because she's complaining too much. It happens. I'm telling you, it happens. That's how we miss our blessings and our miracles. Don't just do it for the blessings. Do it because God, you love God. God's an awesome God. He loves us, and he cares for us. If it wasn't for God, man, where would any of us be right now? He made us and he molded us. He shaped us. He shaped us every day to fit what we need, and that's him, his ministry, what he wants us to do to help others. Because he don't really have to have us. He can do it all by himself. But he chooses us because sometimes we got to see. But the word says by faith and not by sight. We have to have faith. Trust and believe. We have to have that faith. We have to believe in something. We have to have faith. Have faith on everything. He said small as a mustard seed. Have faith as a mustard seed. And that will take you, but build that faith up bigger than a mustard seed. That's what I always say. It's okay because the Bible says, have faith as a mustard seed. But build that faith. Build it by believing and trusting that everything that this word says, everything God is ministering to you about in your dreams, God speaks to me and tell me to do something, or he says, I got you. I can hear something. My daughter say something. Me and her was talking yesterday, and she said something. I said, wait a minute, say that again, because that's what God was trying to tell me. He was telling me that. And she said, oh, I know what you was talking about. And so she started telling me because we was up talking. That's what he wants us to do. So be prepared. Remember, you have to suffer. Count it all joy, because that's what the Bible talks about. Counting it all joy. We have to count it all joy in James. That's what it says. James 1. It says, count it all joy. We have to get in the word. We have to add, just talk to God. Okay, so help me. I need wisdom on understanding on what you need me to do, because, man, this suffering is pretty hard, but I know it's easy for you. God don't mind you talking to him like that. People get scared to talk to God. Why are you scared to talk to God? Why are you scared? Don't be scared to talk to God. And he's no respecter person. And just because he did it for this one, what makes you think he ain't going to do it for you? It might be in a different way, because we all have our different walks and our different talks. But there is times that I could talk to somebody and they went through the same thing that I went through. And that's because God wants me to minister to that person. So count it all joy. Get in your word. Fast. Seek the Lord. Let him love on you. Let God love on you. I always ask God, and this is no lie, I always ask God, let me climb up in your lap because I just want you to love on me. I just want you to hold me. I tell God that. And one day I went to this ministry, and this was several years ago, and I went to this ministry. This guy, he was a minister. He left, and he lived 45 minutes away. He was almost there. God told him to turn right back around to come give me a word. And so him and his wife did, and they come give me a word. And he said, can I get a hug? And I said, yeah. And then when I was hugging him, man, I could feel Jesus. You guys, I am no lie on this. And I just bawled. I mean, and it was just tears of joy, but because I felt the love of Jesus hugging me. It was Jesus that lives inside us. I felt his arms around me, not the man's arm, but Jesus' arms. I felt it, and I was just bawling, and I could not stop crying. And he just held me even more tighter because God was telling him, just hold her. Just hold her, because he knew I had been going through so much. I just had a bad car wreck, and I've been out from work. And I was hurting, and I was like, God, what am I going to do? I've been going through so much, and God was just holding me. And his wife wasn't saying, look at you trying to know. It was about Jesus. Jesus wanted him to do that. And I felt Jesus in this man's arm, and that's what I needed. And I still to this day ask God for this. I said, God, I just need you to hold me. I just want you to love on me. Just hold me. And there's nothing wrong. Don't think it's crazy. No, God will do that to you. So just remember, he's there. He loves you. You're going to suffer through your trials and tribulations. It's okay. If you cry, cry. Cry it out. Cry it out. It's okay. Don't let people tell you not to cry. Cry that thing out. But get dried up after you do, and get in the Word and say, okay, God, I'm done. I'm, you know, hey, tell me what I need to do because this thing hurt. My husband left. It hurt. I lost my job. It hurt. My kids is acting up. It hurt. I'm acting up. Lord, it hurt. Help me, Jesus. And he will. And once he do minister to you, man, it feels so good because we allowed him to do it. We stepped back and got out of self and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. I need you. Tell me what to do and watch what he does. He's going to do it. He is going to do it. So just remember that. That's what I wanted to leave with you guys because I struggled on that. I struggled so much on my trial. I mean, recently, struggling. I was struggling. I had to come up here to my move from Oklahoma to where my daughter lived because I needed help because it's so hard by my the injuries that I have. Even though there's 5 years old, they didn't really take care of me. So I can't do everything by myself. I can't just stand up all day and try to do like clean the house and do this. I have to have help. And you know, when you used to doing everything by yourself, you have to let somebody help you. Well, I'm not used to that, even though I'm used to people helping me, but not like that. Like, I can't work right now. And so I have to come up here. My daughter said, Mama, come up here so I can help you. You can't do it by yourself. And I would cry to her every day. My back is hurting me so bad. The pains are in my hip so bad because the medication wasn't helping. I couldn't depend on the medication. I had to depend on God. God said, would you go? This is not where I need you to be right now. Go. So I had to go. I was trying to wait for the doctors to get everything situated, and they was taking their time. Well, it wasn't the doctors. It was God, like, go. And then here comes Slooper trying to send the doctors already to come do this and do that to get me to think, oh, I'm supposed to be here. But where was I going to be? Because the girl that we were staying with, the roommate we were staying with, wasn't right to us. She was mean and nasty to us. She got her car. We didn't have a car, and I haven't been able to get one until God's going to bless me with one. And she took everything, turned the lights off. We didn't have we didn't have no water. She up and just left us, me and my daughter, and I'm sitting there like, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? God said, what do you think you're going to do? You don't trust in me and believe. You need to get out of here and call your daughter and get to Louisiana. And that's what I had to do. The church, and it was God because the church paid for it. My church paid for it. I told them that was my last day. And my daughter called me and said she was still acting up, came back acting up even more. And so I said, oh, my gosh. In the middle of church service, I'm trying to, you know, listen to God. And in the middle of church service, this girl acting up. So God said, don't worry. That's the time that I needed to hear it. So the church paid for it. It was so smooth. I got on the bus. I took medicine, even though it didn't work as good, but I still took it so I won't be in pain on that bus. And God allowed me to sit by myself the whole ride. Now, you tell me that ain't God. That's God. He took that whole time. He said he prepared, just like I read Jeremiah 29:11. He prepared my way. I didn't have to sit. If I had to sit by somebody, that's okay. But when I'm in pain, you know, and I have to stretch a certain way, no. Because I remember when we was homeless and they paid for our way to come back to Oklahoma, oh, I was so in pain. My body was so in pain. And then the whole time when I got back to my mom's, man, my body was so in pain. I mean, it's like I just couldn't hardly get out the bed because I broke down. But when I came here, God was like, just my body was so relaxed. It was God he just made that way for me. The pain wasn't there. And I slept for a day. You know, even I got up, but I still slept comfortable. I didn't have to worry about chaos. You know, things around me, sitting in the room all day because I can't get up like I used to and go out. Even though that she got a car, she stopped letting me use it because I just go to the store to just get me something to drink just to get out the house and come go back. And I sat there and I told my daughter, I said, I can't do this no more. I said, I only was here because it was my daughter's roommates, and they would allow me to stay until I was getting my stuff together so I could get my own place. No, God said, no, I don't want your own place. I need you to go to be with your oldest girl. And that's what I did, and it's so peaceful. Love, and I don't have to worry about going to the store. We might not have a car, but we order food. You know, then you had to pay for it online, but I didn't have, for some reason, I don't know, I guess things changed, and we don't have to pay for it. My daughter works whenever I need. My daughters are there for me. But then it was so rough on me, but I had to suffer. So what I do, you guys, I prayed. I fast. I seek the Lord. I would get on Clubhouse and just listen to people. Listen, then I had to minister, but I still had anger. I ain't gonna lie, I had mileage. I was so upset because I said, why am I in this? What is going on? And I had to stop complaining. It wasn't that I was complaining so much, but there was times the roommate would just do some evil stuff, and I had to look over it because in my mouth I would say stuff that God said, I don't want you to say nothing, because she would push my button, and she knew how I loved God, and she knew that, you know, people can push you to rap. And I couldn't let her do that. She did me like that twice. And I had to ask God for forgiveness. But I didn't stop. I didn't stop serving him. I didn't stop worshiping him. I said, God, I messed up. I repent. Please forgive me for what I said. And God said, I forgive you, daughter. Forgive yourself. And that's what I had to do, forgive myself. So you guys remember that. Forgive yourself. Love God, let God love on you. Remember your trials and tribulations, you're going to suffer. But just count it all joy, because think about what's greater in front of you. Just look at it. Look what's in front of you and see that there's a door opening right now. Just look. And you can see that door opening, God saying, come on in, because your blessings and miracles is right in front of you. You one step, and this is no lie, God is telling me to tell you guys, you're one step away from your blessings and miracles. One step away. Let everything go. Ask for forgiveness, and take that forgiveness out. If you're still hurting from something, ask God to remove it and mean it and repent that you're holding on to unforgiveness. Just like Apostle said, you gotta let that forgiveness go. You gotta forgive. Let it go. And let God have his way in your heart so you can go ahead and get your miracles and blessings. Whatever that miracle and blessings is. It's not always about money. It's not always about house. All that stuff is gonna come to you. The miracles and blessings, the greatest thing is love. The greatest thing is Jesus Christ. The greatest thing is God. The greatest thing is your Holy Spirit, the three trinities. That's the greatest thing, is that number one thing God wants us to do, Jesus said, is love. Love thy neighbor. You got to love. Love your mom. Love your dad. That pain that hurt. If you was molested, love. Yes, it hurts. How could they do that? That's wrong. Yes, it's wrong. But God said, vengeance is mine. You're going to get the victory over that. You already got the victory, but let it go so God can take care of that. And once he takes care of that, that'll be your testimony to help others so you can tell them how you got over that trial and tribulation, how you got over not having those parents in your life, how you got over being beaten by your mom or your dad or your step-parent. God wants to take that pain, ball it up, and send it back to the enemy. And he wants you to go to the enemy's camp and take back everything that the cankerworm and the locust stole from you. Go to the enemy's camp. Mm-hmm. Go take it back. Say, this is mine. Mm-hmm. This is mine. You got to take that. You got to go back. Stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God and stand firm and say, I'm going to take back everything that you stole from me, devil. I'm taking it back because I'm not fixing to cry no more about this. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm not fixing to cry about this no more because there's nothing that he can do to me. There's nothing that she can do to me. Nothing. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Can't no one be against us. So remember that. God is love. Love first. Love first. Love him first. And watch. You're one. Remember this. You're one step away. You can touch it. You just can't. God ain't letting you have it until you need, let that forgiveness. Push that. Hey, take this forgiveness. I'm done, devil. I'm shutting the door to you permanently. That's it. You done ruined my life. I'm done. But God's giving it back to you. I said, come on, daughter. Come on. Because I have you in the palm of my hand. And that's what God is saying. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Whew, he is in this room, guys. Can't y'all feel it? I can feel it. God is here. Ooh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for being obedient to his word and doing what he told you to do. You know, once the Holy Ghost move, I dare not stop anything and be dealt with. No
man,
I've done that. It's all, this is his show, not mine.
Yes.
So however you want to
work, yes,
that's how it's going to go. Remember, you guys, thank you for tuning in. If you want to reach Prophetess, let me know. I will definitely connect you to her. It's not.
Yes. Hello?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I say, thank the woman of God for being on here and delivering the word like the Lord told her to. If you need me, let me know. I'm here. Tune in Monday for Man Up Monday with Chief Apostle and another man of God. Remember, you're not in this by yourself. Keep pushing and keep trusting God. Have a blessed and phenomenal day.